Those first harvesters, those earliest followers of Christ, remind us that modern-day disciples are not called to live lives that are insulated from the needs and hurts, the pain and griefs of the people around us. You cannot bring in a crop without touching the produce, carrying it where it needs to go, and obtaining some blisters in the process.
That's the Reverend Robin Wilson, and today she brings you a challenging message of faith entitled, The Future Harvest. I'm Peter Wallace, and this is Day One.
Welcome to Day One, the weekly program that brings you outstanding preachers from America's mainline Protestant churches, sharing insight and inspiration from God's Word for your life. Now to introduce this week's preacher, here's our host, Peter Wallace.
Thank you, Sherry. Today on Day One, we're honored to have with us the Reverend Robin Wilson, senior pastor of Dauphin Way United Methodist Church in Mobile, Alabama. Robin came to Dauphin Way in 2010 as co-senior pastor with her husband, the Reverend Dr. Jeff Wilson. Now with his appointment as a district superintendent, she is the sole senior pastor. Before that, Robin was director of ministerial services in the Alabama-West Florida Conference of the United Methodist Church and earlier served churches in Montgomery and Union Springs, Alabama. Next month, she begins serving as senior pastor of First United Methodist Church in Opelika, Alabama. She's a graduate of Vanderbilt University in Nashville and earned her Master of Divinity degree from Duke Divinity School in Durham, North Carolina. Robin, welcome to Day One.
Thank you so much. I'm glad to be with you.
You were last with us about 3 years ago when you and your husband were co-senior pastors of Dauphin Way United Methodist Church. So what happened?
Well, you know, we, as United Methodists, are under the appointment of a bishop, and about a year ago, my husband was moved to be the district superintendent of the Mobile District of the United Methodist Church, and so I got to take the co off of my senior pastor title and take all the responsibility and all of the blame all onto myself, and have enjoyed so much working with that amazing congregation and the amazing pastoral and lay staff that's at Dauphin Way.
Mm-hmm. Dauphin Way's tagline is making disciples who make a difference. So describe for us the character of your congregation and its ministries in downtown Mobile and beyond.
That's a mission statement that we have developed in our years of ministry there, and it really characterizes Dauphin Way throughout its history and its present as well. Dauphin Way is very devoted to strengthening the congregation so that they understand and are grounded in what it means to respond to the call of God upon their life, so that they grow in response to what God would call them to be. But they're also very committed in being socially active in their community and in their world. It has a wonderful missions program, but it also looks to partner with other organizations, not necessarily to recreate the wheel on all different missions opportunities, but to partner with other organizations and to find those places in the community where there's a need that is not being met.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been a fun thing to be a part of.
A couple of those meaningful mysteries are Joy for Johnny and Raise the Roof Project. Tell us about those and how they came about.
Joy for Johnny is our ministry with children with special needs and their families. We found a couple of other churches in our annual conference that were doing this, and we realized that in our Mobile community, there were a lot of families in our community who honestly didn't have a lot of freedom to go out into the community and do things. Parents very rarely were able to be away from their children, and so once a month, one Saturday a month, families will come and they'll drop off not only are their children with special needs, but their able-bodied children as well. And we just kind of have a vacation Bible school type party type fun atmosphere. And we love their children and we care for them. We always have a medical person on staff or as a volunteer to in case anything goes wrong. But we just have a wonderful time with music and Bible stories and playground and crafts. And it's just a wonderful time for those children to be cared for and for their parents to go out and have dinner or to network with other people and to just have that time by themselves. And Raise the Roof is a ministry that we started just about 6 or 7 years ago, and we realized there was a need in some of our poorer Mobile communities for people to have local home repair. And our youth group actually is the one that found that that was a need. And so they started working on those local homes. They raised funds, they developed a board of directors, and now they've expanded that to partner with other churches, St. Paul's Episcopal Church in Mobile as well, and other churches. And we host different churches from all over the nation that will come for a week at a time and do home repair in these underprivileged communities.
Dauphin Way offers three rather distinct worship services on Sunday morning. Why is that?
Well, we know that we can't be all things for all people. But there are some things that we can do really well to reach people at different places in their spiritual journeys. Mm-hmm. Dauphin Way has a wonderful tradition of having a kind of a high church traditional worship service in a large sanctuary. And that's still probably our service that we're most known for. But we realized that we were not reaching people in their 20s and 30s as well as we needed to. The Midtown area of Mobile was growing, and we decided that if we were going to be really about making disciples who make a difference, that we were going to have to put aside our personal preferences for worship style and worship music and do things that would reach them so that they truly would be able to be a part of a church community and that they would join in with our mission as one congregation. Now, our early morning service remains our smallest but our most intimate service. It has communion every week. It's a traditional worship service, but it's the service that everyone knows everyone. If there's someone who is not there, they're all going to go check and see where that person is. So the three worship services have a very different flavor, but we all come together to unite in our mission and our ministry, our discipleship, and all of our opportunities for growth.
Well, now for you, you're facing another change. The bishop has appointed you as the senior pastor of First United Methodist Church in Opelika, Alabama. Tell us about that church.
I'm real excited about this. Opelika is right near Auburn, Alabama, and it'll be wonderful to be in that part of the world. This church has a long and glorious history, and some of my heroes in the faith have actually served as the pastors of that church. But it is a church that has both contemporary and traditional worship. It has a wonderful, vibrant missions ministry to people who've been incarcerated, to working with the local school board, and they work with children who the school board identifies could really use some very intense mentoring. And that's been a wonderful ministry that has really helped transform the community as well. I look forward to getting to know a lot more about that in the future. So next time I come back, Peter, I'll tell you lots more about Opelika.
All right. Well, Robin, your sermon today draws from Matthew chapters 9 and 10. Would you read it for us?
I'd be glad to. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Then Jesus summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to cure every disease and every sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, also known as Peter, and his brother Andrew, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the tax collector, James, son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus, Simon the Cananean, and Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions: "Go nowhere among the Gentiles, and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go, proclaim the good news. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. You received without payment, give without payment."
I'm struck by the fact that Jesus says to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest," and then he sends them out. So they are the answer to their own prayer. Should we take something from that?
Isn't that a fascinating thing to think that we could be the answer to a prayer, that we who follow Christ could be the answer to the prayer, even of the earliest disciples and of the Christ, that we can be used, we can be needed, we can be about doing God's work in this world. And I think that's what we are called to be sometimes we forget that what we do is holy, what we do is powerful, what we do is in response to the actual will of God Himself. And that is overwhelming to think that we can be used for the curing of the dis-ease of the world, that we can be helpful to the spiritual malaise of the world, that we can use our gifts to make a difference in this world.
Mm. Well, your sermon is entitled, The Future Harvest. Robin, thank you for being with us.
Thank you so much.
I want my children to have an easier life than I've had. I want them to have every opportunity to seek education, adventure, and to see the world when they are young. But I really want them to come home and settle down near me eventually, get a secure and profitable job, have a nice, normal family if there is such a thing, and provide grandchildren whom I can entertain and spoil as I grow old next to them. These frightened words from a parent whose child was feeling a calling to ordained pastoral ministry were heartfelt and almost mournful. This parent feared that life as a pastor would mean a life of economic uncertainty, hard work without weekends off, and the continuous criticism from church members that life would bring to her daughter. If parents were honest, this would be the wish of most of us, to protect our children from any form of potential pain. We want safe, easy, predictable lives for those we love. After a certain age, most of us want safe, easy, predictable lives for ourselves as well. We who live comfortable, safe, secure lives believe the idea of Jesus and the fluffed-up lessons that we recall from the ghosts of sermons past about a vague concept of loving God and loving neighbor. But we have no desire to go meet people who are physically, emotionally, mentally, or spiritually ill and to bring about God's healing. We will proclaim the good news of the kingdom when we pass the peace to one another in the pew. But we do not want to go minister to the crowds of incarcerated prisoners, the scores of senior adults in nursing care facilities, or the troubled youth living in group homes. And part of us secretly sympathizes with a parent who fears what it means for her child to feel called to make her life's work about serving the least, the last, and the lost in the crowded fields of this world. Disciples who follow Jesus get no assurances of future stability and security. They are called to go into unruly, unpredictable crowds and show the compassion of Christ Himself. Followers of Christ toss away the dreams of comfortable, expected futures to embrace lives of hard, often thankless work in the trenches of this world, fighting spiritual disease and malaise. Disciples of Jesus risk the anger and revenge of those who revel in and take advantage of the chaos of the masses, the contemporary divisions of who is deemed clean or unclean, and the exploitation of the disenfranchised and forgotten. Who would want their children to heed the Lord's call for laborers for this harvest? No wonder the call of Jesus upon all believers is so threatening to us. For as we read this scripture, the future is anything but simple for those who would follow Christ. There is no assurance of safety, financial security, or even a promised roof overhead. But in Matthew's gospel, we find that these first disciples were sent with Jesus' authority to heal and live holy compassion, and they went at personal risk, most likely fearful and awkward. What does it mean for us that these earliest disciples did it? That they denied themselves and accepted the mission of Jesus to go and reach out to God's people? To cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons, all without payment? It means everything. The willingness of those first followers to take a risk reminds us that we too can risk ourselves to look upon others without fear and with love and compassion. Because those disciples were sent so long ago means that we learn a fundamental truth. We were not created to be obsessed with ensuring our health, our pleasure, or our security. We see that Jesus shows a better way than the chaos and groupthink of the aimless crowds who wander grasping for some purpose to justify their mere existence on the planet. Those first harvesters, those earliest followers of Christ, remind us that modern-day disciples are not called to live lives that are insulated from the needs and hurts, the pain and griefs of the people around us. We are sent to go into the fields and work. Harvesting is hot, tiring, dirty work. You cannot bring in a crop without touching the produce, carrying it where it needs to go, and obtaining some blisters in the process. I imagine the first disciples had some stories to tell about their experiences their first time working in the fields. Some produce in that crowded field that these disciples were sent to by Jesus himself was not ripe and felt resistant to the gentle tug to disconnect from the vine, not ready to be picked. Some produce fell off the vine into their baskets, overwhelmed by the healing words of hope and salvation, and grateful to be delivered into the hands of the master gardener. Some produce fell hard to the ground when other fruits were harvested, in mindful defiance and protest of those who dared to leave their stagnant spot in the garden. Some produce had lived on the vine too long and had withered and rotted away. But the abundance of those who were ready for harvest was overwhelming. The scripture tells almost with joy that the harvest was plentiful, plentiful. As 21st century followers of Christ, we are to venture into the crowds, into today's fields, to find and gather those who desperately seek to know that the one who brings healing for the deepest pain has come into the world. We are to make our way into the fields of this world to reconcile the ostracized, the marginalized, and to work for our actions to speak as loudly as our words that the kingdom of heaven has come near. We join the faithful line of laborers from every generation who realize that we have the joyful calling to share God's message of hope, restoration, and enveloping love through Christ. We continue the mission of Christ and those first followers through healing, compassion, and reconciliation with the crowds today who wander through this life like sheep without a shepherd, even those closest to us. So maybe, just maybe, we who labor for the gospel in the fields of this world will want more for our children than what the world wants for theirs. May we become so grateful for our holy labor that we will no longer pray that our children have easy lives of simplicity and stability, but we humbly ask that they too will hear the call of the master gardener to risk everything that this world offers, to instead get dirty and sweaty in God's fields. We will get on our knees to pray that they, like their parents, develop blisters while bringing hope and healing to the broken in this world. We will ask Almighty God that they would grow to have eyes to see, ears to hear, and hearts of compassion to respond to the cries and needs of the crowd. We will beg our loving God that our children will proclaim the kingdom of heaven and gather in a grateful harvest. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions: "Go nowhere among the Gentiles, and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go, proclaim the good news: the kingdom of heaven has come near. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. You received without payment, give without payment." Let us pray. Compassionate God, you call your followers of all ages, nations, and races to look upon your people with great mercy. Send your disciples to go into this hurting world without fear, to proclaim the good news and bring hope and healing to your people. May we faithfully labor for the cause of Christ with everything we have and everything we are. May we joyfully raise up the next generation of Christ followers to be completely devoted to bringing in the harvest. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
The Reverend Robin Wilson was our preacher today. Robin is senior pastor of Dauphin Way United Methodist Church in Mobile, Alabama. For a free transcript of her message, The Future Harvest, call us toll-free at 1-888-411-DAY1. That's 888-411-3291. Or write to us at Day 1, 2715 Peachtree Road, Atlanta, Georgia 30305. Please keep in mind that Day One depends on the financial offerings of our faithful listeners. We're grateful for your support. I'm Sherry Miller. Next week, Robin Wilson returns to Day One with a challenging message entitled, "Rise Up." You won't want to miss it. Robin Wilson offers some final thoughts on her sermon today with our host, Peter Wallace.
Robin, you shared the words of a frightened parent whose adult child was considering entering a life of ministry. The parent was frightened because of the cost in terms of time and energy that would be required, making for a difficult life. And to be honest, we all want safe, easy, predictable lives for those we love, and after a certain age, we want that for our own selves as well. But you said disciples who follow Jesus get no assurances of future stability or security. Why does it have to be so hard to truly follow Jesus as a disciple?
Well, if you look what happened to Christ himself as he lived in this world, as he preached and he proclaimed the good news, as he showed us a way to live, as he healed, he upset everyone. He upset the people who were religious. He upset the government. He threatened people with his very being. And I think that is exactly what we do. If we are faithful, then what we do is so countercultural. It calls our allegiance away from even our nation. It calls our allegiances away from our families and our histories that we've built up. It calls us to proclaim with prophetic voices how we as a city should live differently, how we as the people of God should live differently. That creates a great deal of tension. That creates a great deal of anger. And I think we have to name that and be prepared for that. Mm-hmm. I have three children myself, and every part of me wants to protect them and to love them and to keep them close and to wrap them in bubble wrap before I send them into the world. But I know I can't. And so my prayer is no longer for them to have happy lives, which sounds horrible, but I want them to have holy lives that have deep, rich meaning. And I think we as Christians, especially Christian parents, have to look at what it means to raise up these children in faith and what we actually want for them. Do we want them to be insulated from the world, or do we want them to go out there and to be about the cause of Christ in the world?
You said the willingness of those first disciples to take a risk reminds us that we too can risk ourselves to look upon others without fear and with love and compassion. Those first harvesters remind us that modern-day disciples are not called to live lives that are insulated from the needs and hurts, the pain and the grief of the world around us, you told us. We are sent to go into the fields and work. And what happens to those who accept that challenge and take that risk?
You know, what I don't touch on in the sermon is the rewards from that.
Mm-hmm.
I think that comes with a deeper level of discipleship as we begin to see what life is like when it is lived richly, when it is lived with great purpose. So when we do accept that challenge, we simply don't know what the outcome will be. We don't know if we will be embraced and enveloped when we go into a place. We don't know if a place will reject us. We don't know if we need to be the prophet Jeremiah. We don't know if we need to be the pastor who is sent somewhere and loved for 30 years. We just simply do not know how we will be embraced and how we will be enveloped. But we do know that God is with us. And we do know that we are sent. And we do know that we are called to go into the world and to share the good news and to bring in the harvest. Mm-hmm. If the harvest is actually there and ripe, that's what is promised to us in the scripture, then all we have to go in and do is gather it. We don't even have to plant it, according to this scripture. We don't have to till the ground. We don't have to take the stones out of the ground. We just bring in the joy, bring in the harvest.
Robin, what's one thing from your sermon today that you hope our listeners will keep in mind in the days ahead?
I hope that we will take very seriously, whether we have children or not, when we have children in our congregations, when we baptize children and we make a vow to them that we are going to live our lives shaped by Christ so that they will be the next generation of disciples. I hope that we will look at those children in our midst and the children in our world and realize that we have to live beyond ourselves. We have to live beyond seeking our own pleasure, seeking our own security, seeking our own fulfillment, and do something to make their lives richer so that they are drawn to Christ and can respond with joy to His calling.
Robin Wilson, thank you for being with us, and we look forward to having you back next week.
I look forward to being with you. Thank you.
Day One is the voice of America's mainline Protestant churches. Visit us online at dayone.org. Our program is recorded and edited by Donald Jones and produced by Peter Wallace. Thank you for joining us. I'm Sherry Miller, wishing you all God's blessings on day one and forever.